Tonight we'll be looking at a passage from the book of Colossians. If you want to turn in your Bibles to Colossians chapter 1, the Apostle Paul had written to this congregation. It was not one of the ones that he was personally or face-to-face familiar with, but likely this congregation was evangelized based on the work that Paul did in Ephesus. In fact, one of those who labored with Paul, Epaphras, was from Colossae, and it may have been the case that he was converted and then went back to his home city and did the work here. But the message of salvation had gone to this city where there were numerous Jews in the congregation, but also, of course, of the Gentile background, people had been converted to Christ. And the Apostle Paul, when he was writing, spoke concerning Jesus Christ, the one that he says in verse 13 was the Son of God's love, the Son of His love. And then in the following verses, he says many things relating to Christ and all that has been made possible through Him, what He did. Notice what it says, that He, excuse me, concerning Christ, it says, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins. Furthermore, not only do we have redemption and forgiveness, He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. Christ is the reflection of God. He carries the very nature of divinity within Himself. He tells us, by Him, that is by Christ, all things were created. That is, the role of Jesus Christ not only was coming into this world, but before His manifestation as the Messiah, He was the one at the beginning of it all who brought this earth, this universe, all material things into existence. That was His role. That He made all things that were created in heaven, that are on earth, visible, invisible, whether thrones or dominions, principalities or powers, all things were created through Him and for Him. And He is before all things. In Him all things consist. He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things He may have the preeminence. He is over all, with the exception, of course, as Paul makes the point in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, the Father is not under Him, but the Father is over all. But that's why then in verse 19 beginning, and we're going to be looking at just these few verses, 19 through 23, that's why it says in verse 19, for it pleased the Father that in Him all the fullness should dwell. In Christ, that is. All the fullness should dwell. Because look at all that Christ has accomplished, what He has made possible for us through the sacrifice that He made. And He is the one who is over all. In Him all fullness dwells. In these first two verses that we look at tonight, verses 19 and 20, we see the idea of reconciliation brought forth. Because it is then, verse 20, by Him that God would do what? Reconcile all things to Himself. By Him, whether things on earth or things in heaven, having made peace through the blood of His Son, of the cross. The idea of reconciliation is a very beautiful thing, because reconciliation is the idea of the restoration or reestablishing of a relationship that was once good, but that has been broken down, it's been shattered. Something has happened that damaged that relationship. If you have ever had a person in your life that you were very close to, but then something happened to that relationship and it was damaged, but reconciliation occurred. There was a restoration. There was the gladness, the happiness restored once again. That's a wonderful thing. And what he's saying is that that is what Christ made possible for us. Because the reality is our sins separated us from God. We were born not separate from God, but we became of age. We became to where we grasped, we understood the knowledge of good and evil. And thus, for us, there was a separation between us and God when we committed sin. But through Christ, reconciliation has occurred, bringing back together those who were separated. Christ, by what He did, brought back together God and mankind. And He mentions things on earth, things in heaven. The reconciliation, again, is between God and man. Therefore, this heaven and earth thing has to do with those who are here upon this earth that have obeyed the gospel, that God has reconciled to Himself through the blood of Jesus Christ, and in heaven. Because you remember, under the old covenant and the dispensation prior to that, there was no true reconciliation in the sense that blood was available during those periods to actually cleanse sin, because the blood of animals couldn't accomplish that. But through Christ, even those in the heavenly places, those who've gone on, already died, were reconciled to God in that fullest sense, which depended upon what Christ did for us. And so here now we have peace. Peace between us and God. This is something that we need to really consider, because every day that we live, we should be thankful to God, express it on a regular basis, that we now have no separation between us and our God. There's no break of fellowship, but we are one with God. We have peace with the one that we are going to be judged by, and therefore all is good. We can live life knowing that we are prepared for what lies ahead. But then in verses 21 and 22, we read about transformation, because something has happened as a result of the reconciliation that Christ has made possible. And you, he says, who once were alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now he has reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and blameless and above reproach in his sight. Consider what he says here. Notice this transformation that has occurred, and this is the reality for every single one of us. So think of it in terms of our own lives. We, who once were what? Alienated. You were distant from God. You were separated from God. And enemies. We don't like to think of ourselves as enemies of God, but the fact is, prior to our obedience to the gospel, when we lived in sin, we were enemies of God. We were separated from God. We weren't close to Him. But Christ, you see, through what He has done, has enabled a transformation to occur. It doesn't happen to everyone, but only to those who come to God. And through Jesus Christ, are able to be reconciled. This transformation occurs, and you see that those who were far from God, enemies of God, because of the wicked ways in which they were living, now He has reconciled. And it took place, as He says, in the body of His flesh through death. Here we see the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, making possible people coming, going from darkness to light, going from being enemies of God to children of God. He says that Christ now, through His death, has done what? Presented us. It's as if Christ, through His blood, takes people who come to Him, He cleanses them in His blood, and then He presents them to the Father, and He says, here they are. I've taken care of the problem. They're reconciled to you again. Because we are in that situation until we come to Christ. And now, because of what Christ has done, here's how we stand. Look at this transformation. Remember, alienated, enemies, but now you're presented as holy. You are now separated from all this ungodliness, this worldliness, the sin that you were once a part of. You've been separated from that darkness and brought over into the light. Now you've been made a special people for God. Not only does He say holy, He says blameless. Think about that. Reflect in your minds upon your life prior to your obedience to the gospel. Perhaps the sins you were guilty of, the way that you lived, the way that you thought, the way that you treated people, may be very, very different. But now He says, you are blameless before God. Nothing remains, all those sins forgiven, completely cleansed. It's remarkable to consider that we as human beings can actually stand before God and wear that description, blameless. But that's the reality of what Christ makes possible, which is why all men need to understand that only through this one, Jesus Christ, does anyone have hope. There's no other religion, prophet. There's no other church but His. There's no other way but Jesus the Christ. He has made us holy, blameless, and the final thing, above reproach in His sight. That is, we now cannot be having people, they can't point fingers at us and say, you've got flaws here, you still have sin here, because Christ has brought us above reproach. When we walk with Him, when we live for Him, because He died for us, we are no longer a people who can have others legitimately say, here's the problem with you, because we've been cleansed. We are above reproach. And therefore, we are a people close to God. But notice the final verse. And here is where we see the idea of continuation. Reconciliation, transformation, and now continuation, verse 23. Because there's a little word with huge significance. If. And this effectively puts a stake in the heart of the Calvinistic teaching of the impossibility of apostasy. You were alienated, you were enemies, now you are holy, blameless, and above reproach if you continue in the faith, grounded and steadfast, and are not moved away from the hope of the gospel which you heard, which was preached to every creature under heaven, of which I, Paul, became a minister. We are reconciled to God. We are transformed, beautifully made before Him as those without sin any longer. But all of that wonderful picture that we have can only continue if we remain faithful to God. We can fall away. We can lose our hope. It doesn't have to happen. But we need to keep that mindset that there is a danger. And the reason why the Bible over and over again deals with problems and sin and falling away and apostasy is because that's the reality of human beings living in this world. We have an adversary, Satan, who's seeking our destruction. We have a fleshly body that's drawn away from God's will by various desires of various sorts. And therefore, we must have a mindset, there is a danger. I must continue to be faithful to God so that I don't lose my holiness, blamelessness, and being above reproach in the eyes of God. We must continue in the faith, the system that has been delivered us, the way that God has established for us to walk in. We must be ground, that is, standing upon that solid foundation of Christ, who He is, the Savior, and His Word. Those never change. Those facts and that reality of that truth that has been revealed will never change. If we are grounded on that truth, we'll be safe. He says steadfast, that is, you don't drift away. Someone who stands steadfast is not being shifted from one location to the other location. They remain. We must be steadfast in our stand for truth, in our adhering to and holding on to the way of holiness that God has called us to. And He says that we not be moved away from the hope of the gospel which we heard. In other words, the pure truth that has been planted in our hearts must remain there, continue to grow and flourish, and we can't allow it to be contaminated so that our hope is lost. And He'll warn them in this very book in the next chapter about being careful lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit and move them away from their hope. And so this great message that they had heard was proclaimed far and wide throughout the world. And it's the message that today gives us hope as well, if we remain loyal to it. If we love it, embrace everything that it teaches us, and live according to it, we have hope. We can give thanks to God every day for the reconciliation that has been made possible through Jesus Christ, who has given us peace between us and God. And remember that we need to live constantly lives that reflect constant transformation, that we don't revert back to the ways of the world, or that we aren't seduced to be drawn into those ways, because that can happen and it does happen all around us. And that we, if we continue, in fact, will have the hope of eternal life through Jesus Christ, who has gone to prepare a place for us, John 14, and will come to receive us to Himself one day. If you're not a Christian tonight, reflect upon the necessity of a decision on your part that can change that. Because being one who's not a Christian, repentance, confession, baptism, we can be reunited. A relationship that is broken can be built again, and we can be restored to our place of having full fellowship with God when we were once as children without sin. We can be without sin again through the blood of Jesus Christ if we're baptized into Him and continue in Him. So as a child of God, make your calling and election sure by being faithful, continuing in the way that God has given you to walk in, and coming home if you have wandered. Tonight, if you need to respond to your Lord, we invite you to do that as we stand and sing.